The Summer of Football at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
To be part of a great team, here's Hilton blitzing off the slot again. Passer Hopkins. Oh, my goodness. Did he catch that? That's the touchdown catch of the year.
Shotgun snap. Swing pass. Left side curly on the screen. 20. Got a block. 25. Into space. 40.
And he's
Todd Gurley hits the jet midfield.
He's gone.
Todd Gurley. 20. 10. Gurley for MVP. Touchdown, L.A.
Early stage of second quarter. Newman. Popped up in the air. Intercepted. Eddie Jackson. Jackson is still going. Another defensive highlight. Touchdown, Bears.
The Summer of Football.
Rob gets it. Hands off to Sony Michel. What a hole down the right side. 10-5. Touchdown. Sony Michel rips off another big one. This time for 38 yards.
Breaking into open field and on the run is Josh Adams. Josh Adams inside the 30 and the 20 and the 10 and all the way home for yet another super run.
Here's Barkley, big hole, left side 20, he's to the 30. Avoids the tackle down the far left sideline. They can't catch him. 10-5. Barkley high steps it across the goal line. 92-yard touchdown run.
The Summer of Football with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It is the Summer of Football. Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. With you here on this Tuesday night as we celebrate the great game of football. Summer of Football, right here on ESPN 1000. We're going to hear from NFL veteran Ben Hartsock coming up. He worked with ESPN and ESPN.com. We will get his thoughts about some of the storylines around the NFL. That will be our guest for Summer of Football. But here we are. Summer camps have opened in the National Football League, definitely in college football. We are on the precipice of college football season right around the corner. If you have not heard our Summer of Football guests, where have you been? Go to the Under the Hood podcast. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Look for my name. Look for the logo, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, and download, subscribe. Find our podcast. We've had some terrific guests for Under the Hood as far as Summer of Football is concerned. A lot on college, a lot on the pros as well, a lot on the Bears. It's all there. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Download the podcast. And if you've already done that, tell somebody else. Like, hey, here's some content when you're traveling, when you're on the train, when you're working out. It's all here. Podcast form. All of our shows are there, and all of our great guests are there as well. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood is where you go to download our podcast. Okay, so in 5 minutes, we're here from Ben Hartsock, the NFL veteran. He's going to be with us here on ESPN 1000. And so, as we talked about earlier, Roquan Smith is in the fold for the Chicago Bears, and there's a number of things we got to hear from. We got to hear from Matt Nagy, the head coach for the Bears, because, as I mentioned before, I think that Roquan Smith is going to be terrific for the Bears. I don't expect him to play this upcoming preseason game, but I think in the next few, he should be able to get some time. I think that he's going to be able to blend in nicely with Vic Fangio's defense. I think he's going to be really solid for this Bears defense this season. One of the questions asked to Matt Nagy, how do you manage Roquan's eagerness to play?
From the time that we got to know Roquan in OTAs, we understand that he's a very driven individual, both on and off the field. And I know he's going to do everything he possibly can to catch up. Now he's got to do it. So to be able to get out here in Denver and have some good practices, it's a great time for him. It's good for him to get back in shape and take some hits. You know, go ahead and see where he's at physically with his body, and then we'll just kind of gauge it as we go.
Also, he talks about any lasting effects from this holdout for Roquan Smith.
It's hard because, you know, both sides are in the end trying to, you know, protect each other. But in the end, for Roquan, get him in here so he can play football, which is ultimately the goal, is to do that. So, you know, I think we're all big boys in this thing, and we understand what goes on. And the ultimate ending right now is that he's here. We understand that. He's got a lot of work to catch up. He knows that. He's not asking for anything else. And now we go do it.
So, the thoughts there from Matt Nagy. I'm laughing at Todd Bowles because Todd Bowles is the head coach for the New York Jets. I'm going to play this for you, then I'll tell you the story. Listen to Todd Bowles, how he's mad at Terrell Pryor for talking about injuries.
I feel he should keep his mouth shut and leave the injuries to me. As a coach, how do you handle that?
top right of him.
Did he get fined for that?
We had a conversation. We'll discuss our own in-house things in-house.
I love the secretness. Now, of course, if you know the Bears and you know Lovie Smith in particular, Lovie wouldn't give you anything. He wouldn't let you in on anything. Todd Bowles is the same way, the head coach for the Jets, right? He rarely criticizes players publicly, but he slammed wide receiver Terrell Pryor today for talking too much about recent injuries. He says that Terrell doesn't need to be so descriptive. He should just kept his mouth shut and just leave the injuries to me. Bowles said that he already talked to Pryor about his comments. The coach was tight-lipped when it comes to injuries, but doesn't want his players discussing them with the media. On Monday, Pryor, unsolicited, revealed that he had a fractured ankle, and that's the reason why he needed surgery in May. Initially, it was reported as routine, as a cleanup following surgery for a ligament repair last November. He called it a miracle that he's able to practice only 3 months after that procedure. Pryor also announced to reporters that he's dealing with a minor hip injury and won't play Thursday against the Redskins. He is signed for a one-year, $4 million contract. His former teammates barked at him through a 7-on-7 drill as safety DJ Swearinger yelled at the word garbage at Pryor because he dropped the would-be touchdown. So already he's getting crap from his teammates, called him garbage because he dropped the touchdown in practice. You know, I think it's kind of funny that when we want athletes to be able to speak their mind on what the truth is, and he reveals that he's dealing with an injury now and had surgery, Todd Bowles doesn't want anything put out there. Can I ask you a question, honestly? In preseason and camp, what the hell is the difference? I mean, really, this is not like boxing or MMA, where you would tell the press, you know, before I get in this octagon, before I get in this ring, I just want you to know, man, I got a torn pec. I want you to know I had minor surgery on my elbow, and, you know, it might affect me in this bout coming up. But, yeah, you know, I'm going to be ready to go. This is, I mean, it's football in the preseason. Hey, Todd Bowles is mad because he couldn't continue to try to get around lying to the press or not telling the press anything. So I'll probably say, yeah, I had this issue, and now it's a miracle. I feel much better. Yeah, I got this hip issue, so I probably won't play but this upcoming game, but next game I'll probably be in there. And Todd Bowles is mad. Why is he mad? Because Todd Bowles didn't get the opportunity to say, Terrell's questionable, we'll find out what he does in the next game, we'll take more of your questions. I mean, come on now. Seriously. What difference does it make? Do you think that the team that the Jets are going to play next are thinking, well, Terrell Pryor's out, we're going to win this preseason game now, baby. We got the information. We got the info. What? Why does it matter? Why does that matter? It's so ridiculous. It's just preseason. I think that Todd Bowles and Terrell Pryor and the Jets are going to be just fine. I don't think he gave any trade secrets away, or did he? I'll ask Ben Hartsock. He covers the NFL for ESPN Radio and ESPN.com. We just worked together just recently on ESPN Radio. And right here on ESPN 1000, he's with me here on ESPN 1000 for the Summer of Football. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Hood, what's going on, man?
You know what's going on. Todd Bowles, he's so mad at Terrell Pryor. Terrell Pryor says, yeah, I had some work done in the offseason. You know, it's a miracle I'm back on the field. Everything's fine. Then he tells reporters, yeah, I probably won't play this next game. Got a little issue here, but I might play the next game. And Todd Bowles is pissed. What? I mean, come on, man. I mean, he's not giving anything really away, is he?
No, it's to me, I didn't see the actual presser. I read about it, but I didn't see Todd Bowles you know, nonverbal communication. It reads like he's pretty bent out of shape. I get that. But to me, it's one of those things. It's a little thing that I think he's trying to nip in the bud before it becomes a big thing. There are times where injury reports are important and they are bigger things. I agree with you, man. This doesn't seem like that big a deal. It's a million miles in the rear view. It sounds like Terrell's got a little thing he's dealing with now with it. But it's something that the policy is you don't speak about. You know, every locker room, the policy is you don't speak about injuries to the media. and somebody did, even though it's preseason two and it's not that big a deal, and I think he's trying to nip that in the bud.
It's just kind of funny to me. And he's like the game operation. He's laying on the ground, listening, and the media is listening to him, and he's got his little red nose there. He goes, "Oh, I got a minor hip injury. I won't play on Thursday either. I just want you to know. I got an issue here. I got the gout in my toes. I don't feel good. I got the rich man's disease. I don't feel good." In season, I'll put it this way, in season, and like, maybe you don't want to give away trade secrets, right? But, I mean, so early in the preseason, it's like, you know.
The timing, I agree with you, is odd. The timing of it is odd, but, you know, Bowles has lost a bunch of weight. So maybe it's hunger pains. He's a little frustrated at the heat of training camp. Training camp, you know, is just starting to break. Everybody's frustrated being around each other. Maybe he just had a bad day.
I got to ask you about the Minnesota Vikings. I'm wondering how you view the NFC North, Ben, because I want to know, now that Kirk Cousins, you like that, has signed with the Minnesota Vikings, is he the difference between the Vikings making a Super Bowl appearance and not?
Well, we're going to find out. I don't yet know how, you know, with Kirk Cousins, I said this when we were working this last weekend. It's going to be interesting to see how he performs when he has the full support of a franchise. I do think that he's an upgrade at the position. I don't know if he's the absolute be-all, end-all, but they're complete, man. Here's the thing. That defense was a sleeper a couple years ago, but right now nobody's sleeping on the Vikings defense. They're top-notch from Harrison Smith all the way down to up front with Everson Griffin and those guys. They're stacked, and with Kendricks coming back, all those guys, they're really strong. You got Dalvin Cook coming back and Kirk Cousins throwing to all those guys on the outside, Stephon Diggs and all that. They are a complete team, and so if they look at the fact that losing Case Keenum or Case Keenum was the weak spot, then yeah, Kirk Cousins is an upgrade. But we're going to have to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers. We're going to have to see, you know, he's got a new arsenal. He's healthy this year, and that defense is supposed to be coming on stronger. It was a bit of a letdown in Green Bay last year. So, I still think that the Vikings are the best of that division right now as it stands. Are they Super Bowl contenders? Gosh, it'll be hard. It's going to be fun to see how that shakes out.
Ben Hartsock covers the NFL for ESPN Radio and ESPN.com. He joins me, Jonathan Hood, on the Summer of Football on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I thought we talked a little bit about young quarterbacks, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Ben. What do you think is the best course of action for some teams regarding young quarterbacks? Because you've been through it with a number of teams in the NFL that you've played for. What do you think is the best course of action, to redshirt a first-year quarterback or throw him right into the fold? Because there's a lot of examples of this already here where young quarterbacks are seeing a lot of time.
I think the best course of action is always a redshirt. It's always the best course of action. But in today's NFL, it's not very often available as an option. I think that Sam Darnold, it seems like they're staying, even as good as he played with the Jets last weekend, that they're still sticking with McCown as their starter, and they may stick to that. I think with Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, I don't know that Hugh Jackson has the freedom in his own leash to be able to redshirt Baker Mayfield. Todd Bowles with the Jets just got an extension back in December. So he's not on the same hot seat that Hugh Jackson is on. So for that reason, I think it's more likely to see Baker Mayfield early than Sam Darnold, even though right now, and again, it's such a small body of work. We've seen one game out of these guys in the preseason. So, but the reality of what is best for quarterbacks, I believe there's no reason bringing them in early helps, especially if you look at Darnold in that New York market. I played with the Jets for two seasons. It's its own animal. That market, that media, that fan base, that expectation, the glitz and glamour of the big lights of New York City, it's a doctorate-level graduate course in itself. So if you could just simply give Sam Darnold a year to figure out what it's like to play, one, at the professional level, two, to play in the biggest market in the professional level, you know, to be able to just have that redshirt year is invaluable for the development of a quarterback. He may be ready right now, but I tell you, if I were the coach and I had absolute leeway, I would give him time to learn all of those ancillary things that go along with playing NFL at the professional level.
Ben, is there a team that you're keeping your eyes on for this upcoming season, a team that intrigues you the most, maybe AFC or NFC, that stands out to you?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what Mike Vrabel does in Tennessee. I like Marcus Mariota, and then one of the more underrated coaching changes this year was who Vrabel brought in to help Mariota, Matt LaFleur, who was a big part of Jared Goff's resurgence in Los Angeles with the Rams. So it's a couple of key coaching moves that I'm excited to see because Vrabel is a defensive guy, played 15, 16 years in the league as a defensive player and has coached at Ohio State and then with the Houston Texans. And so he is a tremendous motivator, leader of men, and I think he's a guy that can change a culture of a team very quickly, especially on that defensive side of the ball. And I think that Tennessee defense does have some strong players on that defensive side of the ball. But especially on the offensive side, to bring in a Matt LaFleur to work with Marcus Mariota, similar offensive styles and knowing how to work with Marcus Mariota, I'm excited to see how Tennessee fares this year.
Summer of football with Ben Hartsock, with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I want to ask you about Matt Nagy, but only in this way, because Nagy is a longtime offensive coordinator with the Kansas City Chiefs, now getting his first opportunity to be a head coach. And there's a lot of people here in Chicago that are excited because it's something new. It's not John Fox, and that's not a shot at Fox. It's just the idea that now you have someone that's really locked in on offense, and you've seen his skins on the wall as an offensive coordinator with Andy Reid. So I'll ask you this.
Yeah.
Who is the best coach that you played for that really brought the most out of the offense that you played in?
Well, the best coach that was an offensive mind for me, let me run real quick through my Rolodex, Tom Moore with the Colts, Norm Chow with the Titans, with the Atlanta Falcons, my offensive coordinator, Mike Mularkey, and then Brian Schottenheimer, and then my last was with Mike Shula. Tom Moore will go down as one of the best offensive minds in all of football. Tom Moore helped Peyton Manning with those Indianapolis Colts team develop the offense that Peyton Manning will go to the Hall of Fame under. Here's how I rank an offense. Here's how I tell an offense's quality. I remember more of my offense from the Indianapolis Colts, and I was there from 2004 to 2006, than I do my last offense with the Carolina Panthers. And so everybody looked at that offense that Peyton Manning ran and thought it was complicated and ornate and tricky and all sorts of, you saw all the mannerisms and the gesturing that he did. But that offense was actually very simple. The key to it, though, was the fact that Peyton Manning was the computer implementing the offense. Most offenses use shifts and motion and disguises to try to put the defense in a position of weakness. What Peyton Manning was able to do is he simply had a pretty much a base formation. For the most part, that offense was two wideouts, a single back, a slot player, and a tight end. And so what he did is he was able to diagnose defenses better than any I had ever seen, and he could then put that offense in the right play for that defense. So instead of trying to put the defense in a position of weakness, he just looked at the defense, saw where their weakness was, and put us in the play that best went against that. And Tom Moore was a big part of implementing that, teaching Peyton Manning that. They had a special relationship, and they also had the luxury of time. I think they played together for 10, 12 seasons, which is absolutely unheard of in today's NFL.
So you're saying that Nagy and Trubisky have to be together for 10 years for this to work here in Chicago?
Well, no, because when I came in, Tom Moore and Peyton Manning were only in their maybe fourth or fifth year together, and the offense was tops in the NFL. What I am saying that there very much is a relationship. That's why you see continuity with Green Bay, because Mike McCarthy is with Aaron Rodgers for all those years. That's why you see Tom Brady with Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. You know that Belichick and Brady were loving on each other today about that. There is such value in the continuity of coaches and players working together to where there's the system. They evolve each year. They get a little bit more nuanced each year. Whereas you look at Matt Ryan, who has struggled a couple years with Kyle Shanahan. It took him to the second year before Matt Ryan got comfortable. And then last year, same thing with Steve Sarkisian. I'm looking for Matt Ryan to get a little bit better. But Matt Ryan is a great example of a player who has been to his detriment of his career, of his legacy, to not have an offensive coordinator for more than a couple years at a time.
What do you miss about playing the game, Ben? We haven't talked about that together. What do you miss about being in that locker room?
You know, that's a great question, Jonathan. I'm in my fifth year removed from playing professional sports. And my experiences, and when I talk about the game, rarely is it about fourth down in the red zone in the fourth quarter against the Redskins. My experience was one of the flights to the game, of the meal with the fellas the night before the game, the training camp, you know, jokes that were played with one another, the live pig that somebody bought at a roadside stand and snuck into a dorm room of a coach, you know, the stupid bets over, you know, made up games of tape balls that are getting thrown into garbage cans and watching small fortunes get wagered between teammates. Like, those are the experiences. Here's one of the great things about football is there are guys that I haven't seen for 10, 12 years since I was last with them in a locker room. But I know if they called me and they needed bailed out of jail, I'm there. And if I called them and needed the same thing, they'd have my back. I don't know how prevalent that is in corporate America, in non-team sports arenas. I hope it is. But there's a bond, there's a uniqueness, there's a special brotherhood that playing sports at a high level brings. And, man, I'm glad you asked me that because it's every time this time of year when training camp rolls around, I do kind of realize how much I miss it. Now, I don't miss the sweat, the blood, the stress, the hurt, the pain, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But that community is a real special thing.
Well, last thing I have for you, I appreciate your time, about Roquan Smith. The reason why that he was the last one to sign is because that whole helmet rule. I think you and I have already talked about this, but I want to get your thoughts about this because, again, as a tight end, you're good with it. But think about if you're on the other side of that line and there's this helmet rule where it's just an average tackle or above average tackle, and a guy might get fined or he might have money taken out of his, you know, might be a suspension because of his helmet rule. Just above average tackles, Ben, there's got to be this guy. This has to change here. I understand the safety of the game. I understand what Commissioner Cadell is trying to do, but you cannot legislate the ability to tackle, the ability to be physical. You can't legislate physicality out of the game. I mean, that's how you built a living. So how does this work? How does this get better?
Yeah, you can say that you can't legislate it out, but they kind of have. The reality is that the game doesn't look the same as it did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when John Lynch was roaming the free safety, when the deep third, and he was just leveling guys. Bob Sanders and Sean Taylor, rest in peace. Those guys were decapitating players down the middle. I'll never forget watching Dallas Clark going over the middle, just going over the top of a linebacker and having a safety come down and absolutely just decapitate him coming downhill. Well, you know what? They started fining guys $50,000, $75,000, and next thing you know, that goes away. That style of hitting goes away. Well, this is another example of that. And I have, as an offensive player, I fully understand the frustration of defensive players. They get the short end of this stick, but I believe that it's good for the game, and it will get corrected. I don't believe once the regular season comes around they will call it as stringently as they are during the preseason. I think what you'll see once the regular season comes is it's going to be those obvious hits, and even on the offensive side of the ball, I think of those bowling ball type running backs
that drop their head and launch themselves right into the chest of another player, they'll be penalized. And same thing on the defensive side of the ball. There have been instances this year where we've watched defensive players get called for that lowering the helmet penalty, and we said, yep, okay, we get it. That's one of them. There have also been ones that were like, oh, gosh, there's nothing that could have happened there. And I agree that there probably are scenarios like that. But I don't think those ones will get called nearly as stringently once the regular season comes.
Let me tell you something. If it does, you know I'm going to call you, right?
When Roquan gets tossed and we're talking about his voided contract money.
You know I'm going to call
you. He won that one. Good for him. I'm glad he held out. And, you know, sounds like a pretty reasonable compromise on the particulars of that. It's just crazy to me in today's NFL with rookie wage scales and salary crap slotting and signing bonus slotting that we still have these holdouts. But that's classic NFL, that no matter what, they're going to take everything they can anytime they can. And they tried to on this one, and it sounds like they finally came to a somewhat amicable agreement in the end.
Now, see, Ben is new to the ESPN radio game. So what I'm taught you right now, the big difference between local and national, we were up to our gills with Maryland and Ohio State conversation last Saturday. And look at this, all this football talk. You got to be happy now. See, you got your football talk,
yep.
But you got to do it on my show in order for
That's
it to
right.
happen. So I'm glad that we got our football conversation out. And thanks for coming on the show.
I hope
as
we
always.
Get a lot more, Jonathan. I hope we get a lot more.
Absolutely. Ben Hartsock from ESPN Radio with us here on Summer of Football on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Tales from the Hood is next.
You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
With Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan Hood with you. So glad that you're with us. Tales from the Hood is brought to you by the fine folks over at Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Northwestern should have a really good season, I think, especially with that home schedule that they have. I think that they should have a really, really good season. So we're going to look forward to that. Go to NUSports.com, NUSports.com for tickets. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. By the way, Felix, did you realize that Northwestern, before we go into Tales, they've got Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, amongst those home games over at Ryan Field. I heard Chris Childers, who was on a show on Sirius XM this morning, talking about how he's so impressed by Northwestern, especially their new practice facilities right there by the lake. I got to get down there. I got to see that in person. I've seen pictures. I've not seen their practice. Hopefully Coach Fitz will open the door for me to be able to see this practice live, because that's got to be beautiful. I'll see it now, like in August and September. I don't want to see it in December.
Yeah, you don't want to see it then.
Yeah, so buy season tickets and single game tickets now at NUSports.com, NUSports.com. But I look forward to seeing what this season is going to be about, because people think middle of the road and top four, top five in the Big Ten. I look forward to seeing exactly what they're going to do this upcoming season. Okay, Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. Oh my God, this story. And don't forget, we have got Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday at the top of the hour right here on ESPN 1000 for you wrestling fan, for you the sports entertainment fan. We got something for you. Also, if you want tickets to go to the Fantasy Football Convention at Joe's in Rosemont on the 25th, of August, stay by listen device this half hour. How can you win tickets? Listen closely to Tales from the Hood. Okay, how about this headline? Police look into video of man spanking hippo at LA Zoo.
What?
Police look into video of a man spanking a hippo at LA Zoo. I mean, police are investigating a video that shows a man spanking a hippopotamus at the LA Zoo. Yes, I did say that. The video shows the man crossing a railing last week and sneaking up on two hippos, Rosie and Mara. He smacks Rosie on the rear, and her mother lifts her head as the man runs off and raises his arms in gesture of victory. A zoo spokeswoman, April Spurlock, she tells the LA Times that any unauthorized interaction with an animal is unsafe for the animal and potentially unsafe for the person. There's a big no trespassing sign there on the exhibit. It's there. It's been posted. And so that's the end of the story. But here's the thing. Like, that has to be some kind of frat thing, right? It's got to be some kind of fraternity prank. Because why else would you be spanking a hippo?
I sure hope so, Jonathan.
I mean, you can go to clubs to do that. Why you got to do it at the zoo?
I'm nervous.
That's crazy.
After what we had last night with all those creepy stories, this is a weird way to start this.
Whatever
one,
happened
right?
to just the normal frat stuff, like whoever can collect the most underwear or something. Like, that's crazy.
Or parking a car on a roof.
Or just dropping guys off in the middle of nowhere and just forcing them to find their way back. This right here, yeah. This swings the pendulum in a totally different direction.
That last one sounds like an episode of Insecure.
Mm.
But I don't understand. Unless you were supposed to do it. Is this like one of the, what's that, Practical Jokers on True TV? Is that what they were doing? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to say. It's so ridiculous. Why would you slap a hippo on the backside? What's the point of that?
What were the names too? Didn't they have, the hippos had names, right?
Rosie and Mara. Rosie was like, oh, do it again. Ooh, spank me again. Oh, I like that. I like when you do that though. All right, next story. God, it's been a long week already.
Yes.
Lincoln Square Yoga Studio robbed Monday afternoon. I like when you spank me, though. I love when you do that. Do it again. Why'd you run away, though? Rosie didn't like that. Lincoln Square Yoga Studio robbed Monday afternoon. Business suffered similar holdup in 2017. The Bloom Yoga Studio in Lincoln Square was robbed on Monday afternoon in a crime that bears a striking resemblance to another robbery in 2017. Okay, so around 2:15, a teenage male entered 4663 North Rockwell and asked to use the restroom. About an hour later, the suspect returned to the business wearing different clothes in a company of another male teen. The pair, who were both wearing masks, announced the robbery. Give me the money. Don't make us use this. They had like this hand in their pocket. I don't even know if they really had it. The robbers collected a couple cell phones from inside the studio wall as well as the cash register. Both of the robbers were still on the run, but they both went to a yoga studio. Keep your eyes on that story. Here's the thing, a yoga studio, right? How much cash? Well, first of all, I'm just trying to think, like you're going in there with leotards, right? Are you?
Hey, you have to.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, would I carry cash into a yoga studio?
Do they pay per session?
I'm bringing my mat, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Have to.
Okay. And then locker room. I guess so. Right.
I suppose. Most yoga studios, you just put your bag like up against the wall, right?
Right. I don't know if I'm bringing my wallet in the yoga studio. I don't know. I just find that story bizarre.
It's right? super.
If
odd.
I'm not mistaken, they do pay per session.
Yes.
So
yes, yeah. But I would do that. But I would do that if a good one would be online, would it not?
Absolutely. That's just not a good idea to try and rob a yoga class.
Wait, what are they going to do? What are the people there going to do? Are they going to stretch the guy out? What are they going to do? Like, give me back my purse. And what are you going to stretch him out? What are they, like a wishbone? I don't know. You know, we should have called our guy here.
E. Pope.
Yes, we should call Xavier Pope
the hip hop yoga.
Yes, we should have asked him. Like, how likely is it to rob a yoga studio? That's so weird. It happened twice. All right, another story for you. And this is not true, Sean and Felix. Google tracks your movements, like it or not. That is so true.
Yep.
So this is from Fox 32, as a matter of fact. Google wants to know where you are so badly it records your movements, even when you explicitly tell it not to. So an AP report investigation found that many Google services on Android devices and iPhones store your location data, even if you use a privacy setting that says it will prevent Google from doing so. So for the most part, Google is upfront about asking permission to use your location information. An app like Google Maps will remind you to allow access to location if you use it for navigating. If you agree to allow it to record your location over time, Google Maps will display that history for your timeline that maps out your daily movements. Okay, this is so true. You know, I could be off, like, tomorrow. Let's see, what's tomorrow? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
I'm off tomorrow, right? Because we got Major League Baseball.
That is correct.
I'll get in the car, right? And the car, and my Google will be like, okay, so it is 30 minutes to work. And I didn't tell you, asked you whether or not.
Exactly.
You don't, you don't know my schedule, man. How do you know I'm working today? How do you know where I'm tricking off to on a Wednesday? Right. Maybe I'm going to get my nails done tomorrow.
You get the little notification that comes down on the home screen.
Right.
Yeah.
Does that not happen to you guys?
Yes, yeah, definitely happens to me.
And it's creepy too, because I just moved a few weeks ago and Google Maps just sent another notification. I think it was last night before I went home. It says 30 minutes to get home. And I'm like, wait, how do you know that this is my new home? Because before it used to record the old one. Now it knows the new place I'm at. I've never recorded anything on Google Maps. It's creepy. Super creepy.
See, I just thought, Peacock used to complain about this all the time. And she'd be like, I don't know why it's telling me that I've got to go on a hair appointment in Tinley. How do they know? Like, how does she know? How does Google know I'm going to be in Tinley for this hair appointment with Orinthia? How does Google Maps know this? And I'm just like, I don't know. How does Google Maps also know I'm going to do a car wash after I get my hair done?
Yeah.
It's like it is amazing, man. Like, are they listening to our conversations?
Yeah, they got to. They record it all the time. I mean, it's so crazy. Yeah, and the same thing with work, right? Like, how do they know that you work there?
And those
I could
Google
be going
Maps
to church.
Get guys caught up all the time.
There you go.
Because you accidentally hit that notification and it goes to the map, and if you're somewhere that you say you're not, and you can accidentally text that to somebody, like the last person you were just talking to. Dude, it's horror stories all over Twitter about that.
I wonder how the notification comes up for that one, right?
Get that text now. Like, where you at? What you mean?
Right. Exactly. See? Don't get what are the old times used to say, Davis? Don't get you got to check your traps.
Yes, sir.
Be careful now.
Keep your bag up tight at home.
Be careful now. Watch out there now. That technology, a little bit too nosy. All right, Felix, what do you have?
I have Dwight Howard. Have you heard this story, Sean, Jonathan? Did you hear the story on Dwight Howard's trainer and what he said about Dwight Howard this upcoming season?
It's pretty funny. Go ahead.
So he said Dwight Howard's trainer had mentioned and said that he wants to evolve into Anthony Davis and into Kevin Durant, but his own version of that. So in 2015, Dwight Howard said that he wanted to play 20 seasons in the NBA. He also later admitted he considered retiring the same year. After that career crossroad, Howard is back on the longevity track. Entering his 15th season, the 32-year-old Wizards center is focused on getting into shape and developing his game. Justin Zormelo, which is his trainer, told Candace Buckner of the Washington Post that he wants to evolve into Anthony Davis and into Kevin Durant, but his own version of that.
See, he just...
What is
Dwight
He's a bad thinking?
Hustler. He can just hustle his way to 20 years. Tyson Chandler is going into his 18th season, I believe.
Yes.
Just being a guy. Defense, rebounds. Dwight can do the same thing and just hustle.
Now you know with League Pass, I'm going to be checking out Washington Wizards this year. I got to check out that first game. I need to see, because I heard Dwight Howard's trying to shoot threes
Dwight
now,
Howard
too.
Dwight Howard shooting the corner
God.
Three.
Oh, no.
He can't even hit a free throw.
We can talk about that all season long, Hood.
Oh, my goodness. The big old biceps trying to knock down a jumper from the outside. Please. Give me a break. The game's passed him by. That's the problem, man. The game has evolved where the big has to be able to knock down a jumper. This is why it's good on Hassan Whiteside. He got paid before Miami realized that, you know. But the big has to be able to have some kind of perimeter game. And Dwight Howard doesn't have that. It's just – that's just
– he can still hustle another 2 or 3 years, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, he can BS everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been doing that with that smile for years. I mean, he'll be a bull.
He'll be a bull.
We wanted to be young and athletic, so we got Dwight Howard. Okay, Max. Okay. All right, Sean, what do you have?
So, Nicki Minaj released her new album entitled Queen, and on that she has a song called Barbie Dreams where she goes at sarcastically a lot of rappers. So, sort of like Biggie did on his album 20 years ago. So, she was on Stephen Colbert last night, and she kind of flirted with him, and I'm not mad at him for being kind of hot under the collar.
Barbie Dreams. Okay, is getting a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Okay, which is, as song should, get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
This one's getting a lot of attention for some of the famous men you call out in this. And you know what I'm going to get here. You know in certain terms, describe reasons why these men would not be able to, as the kids say, get with you.
Right.
Okay? Drake? No. Drake, absolutely not. 50 Cent? No. Eminem, DJ Khaled, Meek Mill. But I noticed that I'm not on the list of men. It's pretty comprehensive.
Right.
It's a pretty comprehensive list. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious that if I were to make the list, how might you inform me?
Oh, my God.
What science might you drop about me?
I would say I might... Steven after the show. He gonna come back to work with a magical glow, but
are we still broadcasting?
I wasn't done, Steven.
All right.
And then the ending says, but when you see us, please don't stare. Just address me as Queen Nicki Colbert. Thank you.
It's all downhill from here.
Are you married?
What?
Are you married?
Right. Yes, I am. I'm married, yeah.
Okay, shout out to her.
Okay, absolutely. Shout out to you, darling. All show business. Now, you, is there a form? I don't know where to go from here, actually. I just don't know what to do. I just don't want to pass this moment.
That was great. That was great on CBS with the Colbert Show.
I can understand why, dude. The pause when she asks, are you married? It's like, dude, you're on national TV. You would think he would have that locked and loaded. Yes. But the moment was so big for him. Like, I can't. Yeah.
He's the average dude at the club.
Absolutely.
See something like that. It's like a little start and stop. Yeah, I'm locked up. Yes. And that is Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Okay, what was your favorite story from Tales from the Hood? We had six stories for you. What was the best story of Tales from the Hood? Caller 2, regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. If you want to go to the Fantasy Football Convention on the 25th of August, brought to you by Miller Lite at Joe's in Rosemont, be caller 2. Give us your favorite story from Tales from the Hood. We'll hook you up with passes for the Fantasy Football Convention. Thanks for listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Jonathan Hood, weeknights on ESPN 1000.
Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday with guest Silas Young as well as Josh Lopez. You'll hear that coming up next. Also, a very special guest, Coach Howard Moore, Wisconsin assistant, Chicago's own. He'll be with me to talk about the Howard Moore Foundation, all part of the mix in our 9 o'clock hour on Under the Hood.
As I combine all the juice from the mind, heal up, wheel up, bring it back, come rewind.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.